1991. For quite a while now, we've been preaching from the same verse in both services. It just seems the way the Lord has led. I'm not quite sure when it began, but it's been a while. But, Psalm 91, we'll read the first two verses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Again, this psalm declares really God's provision of Himself to us. It is a song of faith, a declaration of faith in the person, in the presence, in the protection, in the provision of God. And as we said this morning, in these two verses are condensed the contents of the entire psalm. In Psalm 1, the psalmist, and most people believe that Moses is the psalmist here, but the psalmist expresses in brief what is set forth in the entire psalm. And then in verse 2, he expresses his faith in what is expressed in verse 1. I want to take the main thought from verse 1, where we read, God is a place of dwelling and abiding, which simply is a declaration that life can be lived in God. No matter what the setting of our life is, life can be lived in God. I want to speak upon the subject of God in our dwelling and our dwelling. He is both. He is in our dwelling, whatever that is, and He is our dwelling. First of all, consider God in our dwelling, and then we'll consider God as our place of dwelling. Again, the psalmist uses several words, several phrases, several images throughout the psalm to paint the setting. And as you read through the psalm, the setting, of course, becomes very apparent. The blessings of the psalm are really seen in the setting. In verse 1, again, there are the suggestive images of shelter and shadow. In verse 2, you have a refuge and a fortress. In verse 3, you see the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. You have the imagery that's set forth there in verse 4. Verse 5, we read of the terror by night and the arrow that flieth by day. In verse 6, we read of pestilence and darkness. In verse 7, we read of those who fall. And we see that's, as we saw this morning, that increases in number. Verse 10, we read of evil. We read of plague. Verse 13, there's the lion. There's the adder. There's the young lion. There's the dragon, speaking of enemies. And you put all that together and you see that the setting, just like our life, involves storms, involves dangers and troubles and trials and entanglements and threats, harm, death. On and on we can go. And it is in this setting that God is referred to as the Most High, the Almighty, as Lord, and as our God. And this God that is described here is always in our dwelling. He's always in our setting. We don't always see Him, but He's always there. And we see in verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High. So there's a mention of a place. A place. A place, of course, must be specific. A place. A place must have a definite location. If there's a place, it has to be located somewhere. So it is something that is very specific. It is something that has a very definite location. A place is something that is very, very real. We read in verse 1 that it is a secret place. That is, it is a private place. It is a secluded place. It's not a place that everyone knows about. It's a secret place. It is a place away from the danger and the trouble that is mentioned throughout the psalm. It is a place that we have access to. It is a place where you and I, the children of God, can get away from the danger and from the trouble already mentioned. There is a place. You see, I don't have to get in my car and drive to get away. There is a place. There is a secret place, and it's always right there. And it is a place that will do you more good than any other place. A secret place. That means it's a protected place. Means that it is a hiding place. What are we going to do? Run away and hide? It's not a bad idea. But make sure you run to this place. This place. The secret place of the Most High. The word of, the secret place of, that's a preposition. It immediately expresses a relationship and a connection. There is a relationship and a connection between the secret place and the Most High. The truth is, they cannot be separated. This place cannot be separated from the Most High. If you were to separate it, then it's no longer a special place. And this is a very special place. So in the face of the danger and the trouble that's in the world, there is a secret place. It is a place that is available for the child of God. It is a place that is accessible to the child of God. And it has a direct relation to the Most High. It is God, this secret place. So it has a relation to the Most High, the one who is beyond the reach of all others, the one who towers above everything else. Remember in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 21, the Lord said to Moses, the Lord was going to have His glory pass by. He said, there is a place by Me. There is a place by Me. It's a very notable place. It's a very remarkable place. It's a very, very peculiar place. There's no other place like it. The secret place of the Most High. The very phrase denotes that this is a very special place. This is a very beautiful place. This is a very influential place. It is a God-approved place. It is a God-accepted place. So here we are in a world where we experience sorrow, we experience heartache. Trials sometimes are overwhelming. Pressures sometimes are overwhelming. Barriers and obstacles everywhere. The enemies of God, that which is sinful, that which is twisted and corrupt and depraved and absolutely vile. But there is the secret place of the Most High. Again, the setting enhances the character. The character is the Most High. And He has a secret place. And when you consider the setting of the psalm, it beautifies this place. It makes the place more important to us. It is a place. A place is settled. There's no place more settled. There's a place, again, that is available. In verse 2, this secret place really is identified as the Lord. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. That's the place. And my fortress. So this place is God. I personally believe the place is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. A God-provided place for sinful man. A place of dwelling. But notice also that in our dwelling, not only is this secret place of the Most High, but there is the shadow, the shade of the Almighty. It is under that shadow. It says under the shadow. Under the shadow. Which immediately speaks of a shade made by something hovering over us. What is it that hovers over us? The Most High. And what a shadow He casts. The secret place and the shadow of the Most High. In our dwelling, verse 2, is the Lord. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. And He is a personal refuge or shelter, a sanctuary. He is our fortress. He is our stronghold, our place of supply. And He is in our dwelling. He abides in our setting. This is an all-encompassing security. This one who is in our dwelling, we read from verse 2, is one that you and I can trust. We can confide in Him. We can lean upon Him. We can believe Him, seek Him, follow Him. And notice verse 2, verse 3, surely, surely. That word simply means reasons to have confidence. And notice what the reasons are. He shall. We have confidence in our setting. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. Surely, He shall, and He goes on to say, deliver. So in our dwelling, there is one who delivers. There is one who liberates. There is one who transports. He is our deliverer. In our dwelling, verse 4, there is a cover. There is an overlay. There is an overspread, a blanket. And again, it's God. Verse 4 speaks of God's compassion for us. It also speaks of the fact that we are cherished by God. So in our dwelling, the Most High, Almighty One, we see He's also a shield and a buckler. He's a shield and a buckler from the snare of the fowler. He's a shield and a buckler from the noisome pestilence and from the terror by night and the arrow that flieth in the day. He's a shield and a buckler from everything mentioned in Psalm 91. Notice also, He's again the one who's in our dwelling is active for our welfare. Verse 3 again, He shall deliver thee. In verse 4, He shall cover thee. And in verse 11, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Three times, He shall. That's God acting on our behalf. Whatever our setting, there is the Most High. And He is an active God. He is a God who does. He shall. And therefore we have confidence. So oh, how thankful, how hopeful, how full of praise we ought to be for this one who is the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, our God. And He's in our dwelling place. And He's in our dwelling place for us. That speaks of God's provision of Himself for us. You think about God's provision of Himself for me, for you. God provides Himself. So He's in our dwelling place. But He's in our dwelling place as our dwelling. In other words, we don't have to live in our setting. God is in our setting. And we can live in Him. Makes a world of difference in our life. If we're living in Psalm 91, in the setting that is described, that's not a real happy life. But in our dwelling place, in our setting, there is the Most High. And I can leave my setting and live in Him. What a difference. What a wonderful life. So He is our dwelling. He is our place of accommodation. God has provided a place of accommodation. It's Himself. In verse 1, the secret place of the Most High and the shadow of the Almighty. And there are two wonderful words used in connection or used in relation to these images. Dwelleth in the secret place. It's a place where you and I can dwell. It's a place where you and I can continually come. And abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. So we have this secret place. We have the shadow of the Almighty. And we have those two words, dwelleth and abide. God provides Himself in our dwelling place as a place for you and I to dwell, as a place for you and I to abide. So much so that we read in verse 9, even the Most High, thy habitation. Thy habitation. Our habitation is where you and I tonight call home. God is our habitation. He's our home. He's our home. Best place to live is at home. God is our home. A home is a place of special relationships. He is our home. He is our habitation. In a home, you have connections. Home is a place of love. It's not only a place of love, it's a place of service. It's a place of responsibility. Home is a place of security. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of joy. Home is the place where our personal interests are. God is our habitation. You see, the noisome pestilence is not home. The things that are described in Psalm 91, that's not our home. Home is God. That's where we're to dwell. Home is a place we see here where we can dwell and abide. The word dwelleth refers to a continuous habitual action. It's a place you continue in. The word abide means to remain, to be set in. When we talk about God being our home, we ought to truly be homebodies. It's a place we want to stay. Because outside is the noisome pestilence. Outside is the evil. But I have a home where I can dwell, where I can abide. In other words, I can live life established in God. Now notice verse 1. Dwelleth in the secret place. It's not dwelleth by. This is something even greater. Dwelleth in. To be in something is to be enclosed. It's to be surrounded. Dwelleth in the Most High. And then it says, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To be under something is to be submerged by it. Submerged by the almightiness of God. Now notice what is said of the individual that dwelleth in the secret place. Shall. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall. That is, if you abide in the secret place, you also abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So they're listed as two separate things. But if you dwell in one, you abide under the other. They cannot really be separated. To dwell in the secret place and to abide under the shadow What does that mean? Remember, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. What does that mean? Well, it means that we stay connected to God. We stay close to the Lord. It means that we have fellowship with God. It means that there is a harmony between us and God. There is communion between us and the Lord. It means we draw from His fullness. It is to live and to enjoy life in Him. And that can be so of every child of God. No matter what the setting of our life is, and it changes all the time, we can live and enjoy life in Him. In the secret place, under the shadow of the Almighty. To dwell and to abide in these places requires a spirit of dependency upon Him. It's simply lodging or living in the security of God. God is in our dwelling place, has a place where we can reside, has a place where we can continue and remain. This is so moment by moment, day by day, in ordinary life, at this very present moment, and at all times, there is the secret place of the Most High. There is the shadow of the Almighty. And I can dwell and abide there. What a privilege! What an opportunity! What a blessing to be able to dwell and abide there. There are needs, there are cares, there are burdens. There are difficulties, there are problems. But there is a place. It's God Himself. And it is a place of strength. It is a place of durability. It is a place of shelter and safety. And I can dwell and abide there. Seems to me just like the cities of refuge. It ought to be a place where we flee. We ought to flee to this place. There is no better place. There is no better place than to simply abide in God. It is a place of special experience. You will experience things in this place and under the shadow of the Almighty that you cannot experience anywhere else. You've got to get to this place. Again, Moses, Exodus 33. He experienced wonderful things in this place. He saw the glory of God in this place. He felt the glory of God in this place. It's a special place. It's a place where you and I find refreshment. You spend just a few minutes out in the world and you need refreshment. And there is a place. There is a place. God Himself. I mean, verse 1, you could just write refreshment above that verse. It's what it's describing. Refreshment. It is a place where we have confidence. After expressing what He did in verse 1, He said, I will say of the Lord, He is. You dwell in God, your confidence in God grows. You see, faith increases faith. It takes faith to move you to this place. And the more time you spend in that place, the more you see Him, the more you experience Him, and the greater your faith becomes. The problem today is many of God's people live by sight almost their entire life. They have a great burden come into their life, a great trial comes into their life, and now all of a sudden they got to click on faith. It doesn't work that way. And they'll say, I'm trying. It doesn't work that way. Faith produces faith. Faith strengthens faith. It is a place of strength and provision. We see that also in verse 2. He's my fortress. He's my fortress. In Him will I trust. As you abide in Him, as you dwell in Him, you become more and more resolved to trust Him. I'm just going to trust Him. There's no better way to live life than to live just trusting God. The world will think you've lost your mind. Most of God's people will think you've lost your mind. In Him will I trust. It is a place of deliverance. Surely He, this secret place, God Himself, shall deliver me. There's great deliverance in abiding in God, in dwelling in God, in living your life in God. We see in verse 4 it is a place of concealing and protection. God conceals us in Himself. Can you think of a better place to be concealed? Concealed in God, protected in God. It is a place of courage. Thou shalt not be afraid, verse 5. And he goes on to mention what he would not be afraid of, verse 5 and 6. There's great courage abiding in God. You and I can try to work up courage. And you may be able to do that very short term. But abiding in God is a place of courage. It is a place where fear is taken away. You abide in God and you can't even explain. When everybody else is terrified, you can't explain it. It's just, there's no fear. Because you feel the encompassing presence of the Lord. You feel the shadow of the Lord. And fear is taken away. It is a place of ability to persevere. Verse 7, a thousand, this is the person who's abiding in the secret place. Under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. It can't get into that secret place. It can't sneak under the wings of the Lord, the shadow of the Almighty. In this place we have the ability to persevere, to keep going. You and I don't have that in ourselves. We may, to a certain degree, be able to endure and to persevere. But eventually, the stress and the evil of the world will overcome. And you will not. Somewhere you are going to faint. But in this place, dwelling in God, no one faints. No one falls away. No one has ever gotten away from God living in Him, dwelling in Him, abiding in Him. It is a place where we find the ability to persevere. Notice also it is a place of victory. Verse 13, he mentions the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon. But then notice what it says. Shalt thou trample under feet. Living in God, we live the life of a conqueror. Living in God, we have dominion over our enemies. We have dominion over our flesh. We have dominion over sin. That's what Romans 6 teaches. Yield yourselves to God. Let not sin have dominion over you. In verse 13, we see one who lives in victory. I've never been defeated living in God. Never. It's never happened. It's never going to happen. It's when I get outside of God that defeat comes. But as long as we're dwelling in Him, and again, to dwell somewhere, it's real. It's real. It's as real as the walls of your house. Dwelling in God. God is a reality. There's victory. Notice verse 15. This is speaking of the individual who dwells. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Place of answered prayer. You know why it's answered? Because he prays according to God's will. Because he knows God's will. And the reason he knows God's will is because he's in God. He dwells in the Lord. It is a place of special presence, verse 15. I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him. People may be falling at our sides, but I'll be with him in a very special way. It is a place of honor, and honor him. It's a place where God exalts us. It's a place where God lifts us up. The secret place. It is a place where we can enjoy life. He says there in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him. It goes along with, in the Old Testament you read, so-and-so died and was full of days. And I believe that means more than just the number of days that an individual lived. I believe it represents that the individual had a full life. They had a full life. They had a useful life. An enjoyable life. You see, even living in the setting of Psalm 91, you can enjoy life if you dwell in Him. And He's right there. He's right there. It's a place of revelation. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him. And show him. Don't you love it when God shows you something? And the place where we will receive the most revelation is in him. He shows us. He reveals himself. And what does that do? It strengthens faith, which helps us to continue to abide in that place. The secret place of the Most High. The shadow of the Almighty. Thank God there is a place. It's always there. And it is a place where I can abide. Someone says, well, I just don't feel worthy. You're not. I'm glad you feel that way. You shouldn't feel worthy. You're not worthy. It's grace. It's mercy. That God would allow us to abide, to live in Him. There's a place where I can personally experience refreshment from God. Refreshment from God. It's a place where we experience hope and strength, where we are spiritually edified. It's a place where we experience the joy of the Lord. We find spiritual rejuvenation in God. If you want to be spiritually rejuvenated, dwell in God. You'll be rejuvenated every time. It's a place where we can find a very special rest. There's relief there. There's fulfillment. You walk in Psalm 91. You walk through that setting. There's no fulfillment there. The fulfillment comes from this place of the Most High, the shadow of the Almighty. The problem when people do not feel fulfilled is most of them continue to look for fulfillment where they've never found it before. But somehow they believe, well, one of these days, you're not going to find fulfillment in this world. And even when you think you have, you haven't. Because in a couple days, you'll get over it. It doesn't last. Fulfillment is in Him. Contentment is in Him. Peace. Stability, security, and victory is in Him. And we can dwell in Him. We can abide in Him. This is a wonderful place. The secret place of the Most High. It's a fixed place. It's always there. A place where I can live. I can live there. It is a place that ought to be our life. God is to be our life. How blessed we are that God, the Most High, the Almighty, is in our setting. He's available. And He's in our setting as a place where we can live our life. And there is no better. There is no better life. And if you live in this place, I don't mean just visit it every now and then, but I mean live there. Place you go every day. It's the place where you live. You live there. And this world thinks you mighty strange. Because the truth is, you live in a different place than they know anything about. They don't know anything about this place. But you and I know that there is this special place. So how foolish if we know that this place is there. How foolish is it to not dwell there, to not abide there? You see, the unsaved sinner, they're just ignorant. They don't even know the place exists. You and I know about this place. We're just plain foolish if we don't dwell there. If we don't abide there. And I've never been able to figure out, nor will I, why anybody, why any child of God would spend a little time there and then leave and never desire to go back. That doesn't make sense. Because if you've spent any time at all there, you know it's the best place that there is. We need to get to that place. We need to live our lives in God. No better life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.